Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. This hour, way smoother than last hour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we like to have some drama for you periodically. It dawned on me that during our scrambling, I didn't actually complete my thought. But for all of you that are watching this whole budget thing play out, I just want you to know that it's not a foregone conclusion, and everybody in Congress is not selling out your freedoms. There are a lot of people standing against this stuff and the crazy spending, and we're hoping that on the continuum of the political spectrum that is actually a circle rather than a straight line, the Republicans who think it's too much money are voting no, and the Democrats who think it's not enough money are all voting no, and we're hoping that
they'll meet in the middle no.
Yeah, in an odd twist of fate, they will kill this thing. So anyway, make sure that you don't, you know, follow what's really going on and not so much of the hysteria. There's nobody that's going to step forward and fix this thing by themselves. It's going to be a group effort. And hopefully the crazy far left guys vote with the Republicans and vote no. So anyway, I know that's a lot on people's minds these days, and it's blowing up all of our email inboxes. So today's October 3rd, 2021. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name's Bill Cundiff.
Bill's got some news for us.
Yeah.
What do you got, Bill?
Well, Pape Machinery has been our sponsor now for probably at least a couple of years. And there's some news coming down that they may have made a major acquisition in California. I'll know more next week for sure, but it looks like they may be expanding into Northern California at multiple locations. So we'll keep you posted on that, but it's a pretty big deal. So Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer, and they've got about 110 stores altogether in five states. And if you're looking for John Deere products, steel products, Honda products, go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And they can get you fixed up with all that. Fall's on us, and time to get out there and get the property fixed up and ready for winter. So go see them and check out their inventory of tractors and implements and lawn care products. Or give them a call at 226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Don't I get to do it on your ad?
Oh, papemachinery.com. There you go. Yeah, you need to work on that.
I'm not good as a backup singer. You're a much better backup singer than I am.
I know it. Yeah.
I really.
Well, I'll get you up to speed.
It's a family problem. We always muscle everyone out of the way and run out there and get out there first.
Yeah.
So we're here with our guests. We're talking about Huawei and most importantly, its connections to the Chinese government, how tightly threaded that is. I think sometimes we put our conceptions of how business works on other countries, and the idea that Huawei is just a company that happens to originate in China and just happens to be there is not really a good assumption. I think a lot of people aren't even sure. I remember a year ago I mentioned Huawei and someone said, what is it? And I said, it's spelled Huawei. And it was like, oh, is that what that is? So I think a big thing is they hear Huawei on the news and then they see Huawei and they're like, they don't even know that's how you say it.
Yeah.
So, Huawei is that big telecommunication company that starts with an H that's in the news all the time and worth following and paying attention to. I thought, Eric, I thought your point last hour was really important. I did a little search. I just typed in Pentagon and Huawei, Huawei, and I get Pentagon wins brief waiver from government's Huawei ban. Pentagon blocks even tighter rules on Huawei sales. And these are in the Wall Street Journal. I mean, this isn't, you know, Alex Jones stuff. This is just straight news. And so I think we could probably figure out if they are the telecom company out there that the Pentagon is using and they are basically the equivalent of the Chinese government.
Yeah, that doesn't.
I mean, to say what could go wrong
well for our security at all.
Yeah, no kidding. So what? Go from
well,
there.
I'm
and
Bill, here I'm Eric, and I can help, but ask or comment a little bit.
Yeah.
To add another dimension to this very important question. On one hand, we have those technology giants and even Pentagon defending Huawei. On the other hand, the natural question would be, what about those whistleblowers? For instance, in Amos Saga, this lady, CFO, detained, CFO of Huawei detained in Canada, it was all triggered by a U.S. investigation into possible collusion of Huawei under direction of Ms. Meng, Ms. Meng, with Iran, which is a violation of U.S. law. And as it turned out, the banking giant, HSBC, you guys probably don't see much present in the bank, but I used to be a student on the East Coast, so I knew it was big. And I knew it's a big bank still, top set, I think, around the world. So HSBC was a big banking giant. Most of the business is now down in Hong Kong and in China. So HSBC actually served as, you know, what we commonly call a whistleblower. HSBC supplied the U.S. government some important news, crucial information about Huawei's ties to Iran through its subsidiary in Hong Kong. And now let's see what has happened to HSBC. For those people who are interested in what's going on Wall Street or the general economic situation, they would notice that back in May, HSBC has announced a plan to be completely exiting from U.S. retail banking sector, although it was very profitable. At the same time, after Meng's arrest, let's call it arrest, but Canadian mounted the police, back in December 2019, Huawei stock has tanked in China because the Chinese public, under the urging or reminding of the official newspapers, their mouthpiece, somehow believed HSBC has sold out Huawei to the U.S. So Huawei stock was actually delisted. Oh, no. HSBC stock was actually delisted in U.S. stock, in the Chinese stock market. So now they have to be forced to leave United States completely. So that kind of a sad news, Aaron Bell. It's like you're throwing your best friend, the informer of the enemy's move, under the bus. So I'm asking, what is the coverage of an analysis of HSBC's decisions? Well, there seems to be a deal between these different parties. That's also troubling to me.
Yeah, no kidding.
Adding to that, what will the Canadian government do in the future? In this case, I think the whole saga, the saddest or the worst victim are the two Canadians, the two Michaels, what they call Michael Corrick and then Michael Spavor, right? They were completely innocent. It was because the Canadian government arrested Meng at the request of the United States government that the Chinese government, or the CCP, arrest the two Canadians as a retaliation. Right. Now, even though the Canadian government got those two citizens back, but in the future, will any government cooperate with the United States or U.S. request to detain another Chinese agent? They will think twice. So this is really a, you know, just like adding it to HSBC, that's a bank. By the way, that's the second, HSBC is the second largest European bank. And it was found in 1866. Right? That was how long that bank has been, how large it is. Right? Now, the U.S. have managed through that bank and then the Canadian government under the bus. So I think this hostage exchange, the largest victim of this hostage exchange is justice, morality, and then international order, right? Because any government, any major corporation will think twice. Mm. When they have to do something against the CCP. So the U.S. is making the CCP the biggest winner this time. And then there is, even that is not talked about. There's a massive cover-up of all this, what we're talking about now. Right? There's nobody talking about it.
Dr. Chen, I don't know what's your immediate reaction to the news about the simultaneous exchange of the people in the deal, like Meng Wanzhou went back to China, go back to China, and two Canadians go back to Canada. Actually, one of the Canadians have been sentenced to 11 years in prison, and they were rounded up 6 months after detention of Ms. Meng. I don't know what your reaction, but in my case, I was shocked and dumbfounded, and what he say in London, I was knackered. I don't know what happened, and the word that immediately came to mind was nerve. What a nerve they have, the Chinese. They're getting very, very...
Yeah, very bold.
You know, they think the master of universe now. They don't even think Americans are equal. They think they're better. Because it, they think it's about time they're going to replace the U.S. They have the nerve to make it happen on the same day. So they are making a loud statement that is
deliberately.
We're second to none. We're not afraid of you. We're not scared of you anymore.
Well, you asked my immediate response. My immediate response is wow. The United States is about to become a province of the CCP.
No, that's too much, Dr. Chen. With all due respect, vassal state, probably. I would, you know, Aaron asked me the question: what happened when I just came to this country 25 years ago? If you have told me what happened 25 years later, if it could be put in a time tunnel, I would not believe it, Aaron. I would not believe it.
Yeah.
And now, if you consider this in the context of the Anchorage conversation, remember the conversation they had back in March? Am I right, Dr. Chen? They had a conversation with Chinese Yang Jiechi and American counterpart, I forgot whom, probably, Secretary of State. They had a meeting in Anchorage, and Yang Jiechi, China's premier, a vice premier in charge of international relations. He used to be the ambassador to America a couple years back, I believe. He had a nerve. Again, it's about nerve. He had a nerve to lecture our Secretary of State for 20 minutes. And there was no answer from the United States. This incident has been interpreted in many ways. I think I have a view that could be different. I think it was announcement of the end of the Trump era, formally, and also the coming back of the Sino-U.S. relationship to the old track. Listen, let me give you an analogy. It's like, okay, the United States and China were on very good terms. Or putting in more intimate terms, the United States was a boyfriend of China because coming to China gave us so much cheap goods, right? Everybody's happy. But then there was a bad boy named Trump came along. He somehow beat up, you know, the Chinese government for 4 years. And now this girlfriend was weeping on the shoulder of new Uncle Sam under this new administration. And the boyfriend was, okay, comforting her. No problem. We'll go back to the old, good old day. I'll let mom gone. I'll release her. It's like that. Can you imagine that?
It's I did a show on this right after it. It's better known to be the Alaska meeting. And I said here, the CCP was throwing a tantrum, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was only because a change of administration. The CCP tried to throw another tantrum.
Dr. Chen, when you throw a tantrum, the parents should penalize or discipline the kid. Here, this time, the CCP was rewarded by his tantrum. They got what they wanted. They got, HSBC kicked out of the country. They got what the CCP wanted to have a big PR public stunt, a PR group, that is to get, Meng Wanzhou back. And there was no answer on the part of the United States to convince us the business in the field of Sino-US relationship is a continuation of the Trump era. Although the current administration has worked very hard on conveying this message, if you read the editorials of major publications, outlets, media outlets, they've accounted that, the current administration is as tough, as hard as Trump. But there was some kind of duplicity there, okay? They're doing the talk, but they're not doing the right thing. I think there is a major shift in the current administration's tactics or strategy or policy on the China issue. Another side of the coin is that, of course, we can see an encroachment into every fabric, diplomatic, military, even in the case of Pentagon, in our institutional setup. But this encroachment is not actually inch by inch. It's probably mile by mile. I cannot connect the dots between the Trump era and being humiliated in Anchorage, in our territory, Alaska, and now even the big whopping event of getting Meng home to be received by a rancorous crowd at Apple tarmac. I guess CNN is not reporting that. I cannot make the dots.
That's a big surprise. CNN not reporting something. Tell me this. I'm super curious because I have not followed any of this, and obviously, really, most Americans don't have the backstory to make sense of a lot of this, which is unfortunate, and that's, I think, how they get away with it, obviously. But what about the two Canadians? Where did they come from, and how did they just... I mean, they just grabbed two guys off the street and said, "Okay, we're gonna swap you for her."
Exactly.
Get out.
I think they were businessmen doing business with the North Korean government.
Oh.
They can make up anything.
Right. Any two. I mean, it happened to be this two, but it could be any. And that's the scary part. But that scary part is the deliberate message.
Yeah, that's true. It could be you next.
Right.
That's what they're telling them. Like,
right.
You stay in line, or you wind up in the
another asymmetric warfare is about the propaganda. Right, in the United States, there is a massive cover up or non-reporting of this hostage exchange. This hostage exchange, it didn't happen overnight. Right? It was in working since July, and you don't get the information in the United States. But inside China, there's massive amount of information bragged by the government, right? Telling these people how great we are now, we are trumping over the United States, and then they give you the detail how this hostage exchange was forced upon to President Biden, right? And so it was a deliberate attempt, actual now successful coup against the United States. That's why I say the greatest victim of this whole thing is international order. From now on, from this accident or incident on, the international order will change. And nobody is talking
about
it.
I agree with you, Dr. Chen. We actually don't see eye for eye on many issues, you know. We're going to fight when we see meet each other. But on this issue, I'm with you, Dr. Chen, because people are watching. Philippines is watching. South Koreans are watching. Japanese are watching. Even Taiwan and Hong Kong, they're watching. Probably Hong Kong, they're ready for foregone conclusion. It's already part of probably one of the major cities in China. Not the biggest one. Now it's Shanghai, I guess. So I guess it will have far-reaching ramifications that we don't see discussed, analyzed, a lot, at least, in today's media.
Yeah.
So you may wonder why, what for, okay? One superficial reason, I don't know whether this is a real reason, but this could be an important reason, is that the Biden administration want to get something from China, and that is the carbon reduction, the environment concern, right? Want to get China on board. So, it is time to review how many times the Chinese government or the Communist Chinese regime has held the past U.S. administration to hostage on what issue, right? The first one was after 9/11. That was when President Younger Bush became president. The 9/11 happened, and there was this need for a building of an international anti-terrorist alliance, right? And so the CCP held that alliance at hostage and forced a lot of concessions from the United States. So that was back when President Bush first became president, right? And then when President Obama gets elected, what happened? The financial crisis, right? Remember that. Remember the Lehman Brothers, right? And the United States had to send Hillary Clinton to China to get financial support. Well, how much you got, I don't know. But anyway, that was another one, 2008 financial crisis. Now, 2016, we don't have on record, there's not a recorded CCP action, right? But at that time, what the CCP may be using was the trade imbalance. And if a different president is in place than President Trump, then the CCP may give concession to reduce the trade imbalance for something else, right? But unfortunately, the CCP run into a different president, right? A trade war began. And that was the only, in recent history, in the past three or four presidents, that was only one president that stood up against the CCP. Now, fast forward to 2020 or 21. Now the CCP is holding environment issue as hostage against the U.S. government again. Right? Now it gets something that the CCP got the Mulanzhou back. And then, of course, the great victory against the CCP's term, the evil United States.
God. And all for, fake global warming. I mean, it just kind of shows how far off track this administration is. They're willing to capitulate to people who basically want to take over the world, so they'll reduce their carbon emissions that will make no difference whatsoever. I mean,
It's an existential threat. Come on.
I swear to God, this sounds like something that you read about in, like, The Onion or, what's the other one? The one that I really like that is now not in my mind anymore, but they write the fake articles and now they all seem real. I mean, all this crazy stuff seems like this should be on some alternate, you know, humorous news source, but unfortunately it's actually real. We have to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our two guests, Dr. Shizong Chen and Eric Chan. You're listening to We the People, and you'll be able to find this archive commercial-free and free to listen to, along with all of our other programs back, you know, 11 years or whatever it is, at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Darn, I thought I had you.
No, I know.
Two worlds collide, rival nations. It's a primitive.
Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Oh, you know, we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Yeah, I have to play that every show. Every show we're doing some scary topic that involves all sorts of evil. But honestly, you know, the idea that in this day and age, you can just go stick your head in the sand, move to a great place where everybody thinks like you, and you're just going to be...
Yeah, everything will go away.
It'll all just take care of itself. It's very unlikely. Very unlikely that'll actually happen. So we have, you know, like 25 minutes-ish or so. What have we not covered, you guys?
Well, I think we can talk about, we can prognosticate a little bit or doing it in reverse to trace back just the origins of all these weapons, historically and also analytically. Let's start with analytically. If you look at all the calamities, maybe I'm alarmist, whatever, but I love China. I love China. I was brought up there. I could sing Peking opera if you can stand to the tone. I like the calligraphy. I love the country, but there is always a real difference between the Chinese government, between China and the CCP, the current regime. Actually, it was really unfortunate that the Chinese experience endured CCP for so long, because CCP came to power, as we know, in 1949, only like 4 years after the victory of the World War II. And we know China was the first country that entered in the World War II, and China fought for 14 years. And China was the main force to collaborate, to be the ally with the United States. And because of this, China, or the nationalist China, was picked to be one of the four major powers, and it became one of the five permanent Security Council members of the United Nations, which was usurped by the Chinese current regime in 1971, I guess. So it was a huge squandering of the goodwill, resources, and opportunity, especially, of the Chinese people. And actually, America played a part in it as well. So there was, if you go back to the 1950s, there was discussion or some kind of lament of who lost China, who lost China. Mm-hmm. The United States at that time didn't want to collide in the past face-to-face with the Soviet Union. So they made some strategic decision that helped the Chinese communists win the war, the Civil War, that ensued after World War II. That was between 1945 and 1949. And what I want to say is, if you analytically look at all
the things that are going on today in the world, and most of them point back to Zhongnanhai, Beijing, exactly. Because China was such a huge country, and it has so many, surrogates now, and within the regime and elsewhere. And historically, I would say the Chinese lesson should really wake up the American people, because it was not just the Chinese Civil War that put the communists into the leadership compound, but also the Korea War, the Vietnam War, the Cuba Revolution, so on and so forth. Every time, as a former foreigner, now I'm a citizen, proudly, I felt we just give up at last minute. I felt we just, this is really a fatal, I would say inadequacy, at least, imperfection of our governance. In the British English jargon, we just bottled in the last minute of the football game. Of course, we played a different version of football. Because if you come to think of it, if the Truman government had been as helpful as they should, as if it was still World War II, the national government would not lose the war. We would not have lost China. And we have persisted, then we would not lose North Korea to the communist regime. And if there were no New York Times headline about glamorous Castro, Cuba would still be the backyard of the United States, not to mention Vietnam War. Okay? It's just, personally, I think, unacceptable if we could just have persisted. So there is a problem systemic, in banking sector talks about all the time, kind of fertility in our psyche or in our mentality. And on this score, I have to warn everyone in this country, I'm not trying to be a big guy here, but listen, the Chinese CCP is a more a formidable opponent than the Soviet Union. Yes, if you look at that, they were probably nowhere close to the strength of the Red Army, but they have infiltrated us in every step, every fabric of the society. It's not like in the 70s, 80s, that's our beginning point. At those times, there is a Cold War, there is a curtain that separates us from the Soviet Union. We know who they are, and we know we have integrity here in this country against them. And now, we don't have such a luxury. They are in us. They're in us. They're everywhere.
We've done quite a bit of shows about our university system and the massive infiltration of the Chinese government into our schools and our universities.
I talk about recruitment of Huawei. Those universities who are the suppliers of Huawei talents, 500 of them have been denied visa last year. I don't know what was the current policy of the Biden administration.
Talk about the change.
That could be a change. Last year, 500, including my own alma mater, they were denied visas. So there was this discontinuity of the current administration in these crucial areas. You should not allow those people to come in to steal the technology and go back and develop missiles or submarine technology or space technology that were going to be used against us.
Right.
And also, on the other hand, they set up Confucius Institute. They have all those, kind of bribe tactic that has been very effective. That was not available in the Soviet era because they claim the Chinese, we have a subsidized economy. You can now, through our cheap labor, get much cheaper goods at Walmart, so on and so forth. And not to mention they have botched the silence from the other companies and the government officials.
Yeah, so I think two shows ago, I introduced the global utilization concept. And then last show, I talked about the seductive communism. Right? And so one wonders, why we talk about so many people doing the bidding for the CCP, right? And TV is bad for the world.
Yeah.
Who would need such a regime? And why are there so many people doing betting for the CCP? And my conclusion is that there are a group of people who need CCP, and they have a great advantage over people who do not need the CCP. But people who are doing the bidding for the CCP can make money in both China and the United States and other parts of the world. Yet those who would stand up against CCP can only make money in the United States. Right? That is a great advantage for those who support, who do the bidding for the United States. And with their additional resources, they can build more power bases in the United States. And this is why this country has been infiltrated. This is why this people has enabled the CCP to root in this country, right, to enmesh its system in our system, where we don't have an effective defense right now against that, right? And so when you think about that, from that perspective, the United States has fought. I raise the question, why the United States was able to conquer or triumph over the Soviet Union, but losing to CCP? And I realize that there are two versions of communism that the United States faced, the offensive or militant communism represented by the Soviet Union, right? And then the seductive or the commercial communism, which the CCP represents. That's a strong bribery power. And the commercial communism really is the nature of socialism in Europe, in the United States. And it is because that agreed that connecting the socialist elites, establishment in this country with the commercial communism in China. And that is what has dragged this country down. That's what enabled the CCP to encroach our value in this country. And boy, if we do not wake up soon, as I said, the United States will becoming more and more like a province in China. Now, there's something confusing that people may not figure out. Because why? Because, see, on the one hand, we are making concession to China over Huawei issue. But on the other hand, we're also building up military forces in Pacific, right? Seems like we are standing against CCP militarily. Well, yes. If we only look at the surface, that is that. Right? But I think that is a tactical move, right, from the United States. Right? We making succession in one area and then stand up in other area. It could be viewed as a tactical move. But any move without principled guidance will fail. So I think this is something that people in this country have to think about. What are our principles? What are value of this country? Without those values, can we resist the seductive communism? And that was why I say in our last program, I think the failure of this country in its confrontation with the CCP is a moral failure instead of a system failure. It's not our democracy. It's not that our democracy all of a sudden then doesn't work anymore.
Right.
The three branches of government is still there. All these check and balances are there. But why are we failing? It's because this country now do not have the kind of principle and value that's needed to resist the greed, the bribery, the seduction from the CCP. And we need to find that somewhere.
Well, the other piece that's missing is... The other piece that's missing is, the whole time I was a kid growing up and everything, God, family, country was the three top things. Those are the things you defend, God, family, and country. And now it's become very, very popular to talk down the United States. Flag burning is just a little small symbol of it, but, the United States isn't great. This isn't a great place. We're not doing great things. People here aren't great. Our system's not great. And somehow we're allowing that to be taught in schools and to be modeled. I know there are a lot of people who don't believe that and don't teach their kids that, but it has become socially very popular to, denigrate the system of the U.S.
Well, it's become very socially popular to believe that the government can provide you with everything you need.
Oh, yes, and there's that.
I think that's part of the communist plan is government will provide all. So I just don't know how we get...
Actually, Aaron and Bill, since we were brought up in China...
Yeah, what do you see?
You probably would be curious how we would define our system. Actually, from the communist dogma, we are not often called China is a country, Chinese communist regime. It's not often called a communist country. We were taught the country is a socialist country. Am I right, Dr. Chen?
Mm-hmm.
We're called...
Yes.
We're,
yes.
The Soviet Union, I think, Brezhnev called it advanced socialist country. Now, if you look at the liberal movement, they're promoting socialist agenda.
That's true.
That's why you have...
Stand corrected.
That's why you have this weakness. And and speaking of the value, I'm totally with you. The American exceptionalism, the light on the hill, as they say, by Reagan and other people, lies in Americans' values, spiritual belief, and a tradition, heritage. That's why I came to this country. I have a very good job back in China. I could have become, a much more wealthy person, but then I chose America to be my home because of the value, because of the light on the hill. That's where we can hold together as a country. If you don't have it, then you have this divide between blue and red and so on and so forth. So my question, big question, is how we're going to safeguard these values we hold dear, especially in the face of perils, challenges brought on by the Chinese communist regime. We only have a few minutes. I'll make it quick. I think the stake is so high that on the particular issue of China, we want it to be a persistent policy so that we should have a special China Act that is bipartisan, that neither of those two parties in power will be able to cross. So we were going to make certain things off limits. We're going to remind people of this country in very clear terms, they are the enemy. Because another comment I want to give is that Americans are very vulnerable to instantaneous gratification. When it's reflected in politics, especially at a national level, politics, each of those administrations would behave like CEO of the company. They want to kick the can down the road. They don't want to deal with it if it's a spawn issue, if they give them the good polling data. They want to show something to their
constituents, like current administration is doing on energy issue, as Dr. Chen point out. They don't want to deal with the real hard issue. Sometimes they could get lost. And this could be taken advantage of by the Chinese communist regime. We have to make some kind of special deal, make sure our values are always upheld, no matter what, no matter, you know, whether there is a wave, a liberal movement, or whether there are any self-interested politicians trying to, to dance with the wolf to their own advantage. We need to make it happen, and I would remind and I would, ask everybody in the audience to write a congressman to make it happen. I'll stop here.
No, I think that's a good point.
Go ahead. Yeah. So I would tell our audience, say to our audience, the answer is not too far away. We just have to go back instead of going forward. If we look back, if we look at the book of Revelation, if we compare the great Babylon whore in the book of Revelation and compare that to the CCP, with the CCP's action, and then compare those people who are dealing with the CCP, those who are doing the bidding for the CCP, are their actions too far away from what's described in the book of Revelation of fornicating with the great whore? Right? And it's what's happening in the world right now is so great that it's beyond human power. There's a larger scale, there are larger events going on that we need to be aware of, we need to be thinking of, and only that will give us the courage and give us the power and give us the hope. And those, the hope, the power, the spiritual power is what will get this country back to us, to the people.
Well, I just want a little bit add to what I just said, because America is still far away the sole superpower of this world. So it has to send credible message in diplomacy rather than being opportunist to have some instantaneous benefit. We have been allies of too many countries. A country, as long as it has served some temporary strategic benefit, they will become our allies. So both Pakistan and India are our allies. Afghanistan, our allies. Saudi Arabia is our ally. Although it is an egregious human rights arbitrator, just because we want to oil or something, we have to draw a line in a moral ground. You have to earn the title of being our ally. Even today, Chinese regime is our ally. Ally is not such a casual term. Britain is our ally. France is our ally because they fought with us. They fought for us. And people sometimes just want to take shortcuts. And this will be taken as a chance, a loophole by the authoritarian regime. And sometimes they got people confused.
Yeah, it's for ordinary views, we all think that doing the right thing is the most costly way to do it, because then you have to sacrifice. But if we look at historically, insisting doing the right thing, upholding justice, is actually the least costly compared to kowtowing or giving in to evil. There are numerous historical lessons, and we're going through the same lesson now. And we just have to believe.
Yeah, we do.
We just have to.
Hey, Guys, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Sorry we had a little rocky beginning, but we will do this again with you soon. You are a great team together.
Yeah, appreciate you guys coming on. Great
very much appreciated. We'll have the Commercial Free Archive with you up soon, and you can find it at We the People Radio. Where's Bill?
.us.